Support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. And by Wyndham Garden Lafayette.
From Cafe Vermilionville in Lafayette, we're out to lunch with creative business consultant Aileen Bennett. It's business, Acadiana style.
Hi, I'm Aileen Bennett. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Back at the turn of the century, in 2000, writer Malcolm Gladwell came up with the concept of what he calls connectors. A connector, Gladwell said, is a person who knows a lot of other people. This connector is the center of a network of friends. These connectors and their networks are how fads and fashion spread. 2000 was 7 years before the invention of the iPhone. Today, Gladwell's connectors are not just a sociological observation. They're a revenue-producing industry. On social media, they're called influencers. One of the United States' best-known influencers is Kim Kardashian. Miss Kardashian has around 117 million follows on Instagram and 50 million on Twitter. For a reported starting at 300,000, she'll mention you or your product one time in a social media post. Here in Acadiana, you might not think that we actually have influence with that kind of clout, but actually, we do. If you spend any time at all online, you want to know what's going on in Lafayette, you know about Developing Lafayette. Developing Lafayette has around 13,000 followers on Instagram and 40,000 on Facebook. And if you adjust those numbers for the size of the Acadiana population, Developing Lafayette has a reach that rivals Kim Kardashian. It's impressive. It's the creation of Developing Lafayette founder Ben Powers. Ben, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
Or I call you Kim, whichever you like.
Or no, don't call me Kim, please.
Jolie Mo is a hybrid, somewhere between an online influencer and a real-world connector. In the real world, Jolie caters private dinner parties and does pop-up food events around Acadiana. You might have seen her on TV cooking with Anthony Bourdain. Online, Jolie has a web presence on social media and on her own blog and website where she's known as Porch Wine and Gravy. Jolie, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
You know what? Now I know who she is.
I do hide.
Now you recognize
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I recognize the name for sure.
I don't do a lot of selfies.
And that's how influencers work. He's like, oh, Porch Wine and Gravy, I know who you are. Ben, Developing Lafayette started in 2012 because of your own curiosity about what was going on a building site downtown. In your telling of how it grew from there, it sounds easy. You started a Facebook page where you posted photos of Development in Lafayette. The next thing you know, you've got 40,000 followers. To anyone who started a Facebook page, unless you're one of the Kardashians, we know it doesn't work like that. Even with compelling content, it takes some sort of skill to get in front of people and build an online following. So it'd be really useful to all of us who have a business, tell us how you got from zero to 40,000 Facebook followers. How did you do it?
It sounds hard, but it really is pretty simple. You cannot quit, and you got to stay consistent. Because if you quit and you don't stay consistent, then you don't reach a following. Like, a following requires persistence and consistency to trust that you're going to stay posting for them.
How did you get your first 10 followers?
I went to all the Facebook pages for businesses in Lafayette, and I just followed them. I followed every business. And then on their posts, I would like their posts or comment on their posts so that the Developing Lafayette name was in the comments section, and so that people saw it. Because I didn't have any money to sponsor it. I was just doing this, like, bootstrapping. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, really.
So
you just
got the name noticed, and then you kept doing regular
mm-hmm.
posts.
Yep.
And you were just answering the questions that we all ask in the car, like, what's happening there?
Correct.
Did you pull off the road and stop and talk to people? How did you find out first what was happening?
Very pivotal point was when somebody told me, oh, just go to the Lafayette Consolidated Government's website and you can see all the permits. I'm like, this is gold. Like, I started mining through all that, and I mine through it like at least a couple times a day. Like, I refresh it to see if there's a new permit, especially if I know that there's a permit that I'm waiting on. And as soon as it goes public, I'm writing.
And now your secret's out, and we can
definitely.
Surely, there were a lot of websites that post recipes, probably thousands of them. But you're operating in an extremely specialized field. You could literally count the number of authentic Acadiana-based Cajun online food bloggers on one hand, and you'd still have a couple of fingers to spare. Given how popular Cajun food is, all the way from Paul Prudhomme to Anthony Bourdain, you'd think that someone would come along and be the next generation online version of Emeril. It seems like you're perfectly positioned to be that person. You have credibility, you have a big personality, and you're connected to everyone in Acadiana who could package and produce you. What's it going to take to kick porch wine and gravy to the next level?
I think we are looking into local brand, like sponsorship, so that I can actually work on it more. Because right now I work a full-time job, raise 3 kids, and also write and do recipe testing. So obviously there's a time spans issue where I can't do one a day. I would love to, but me being insane like I am, I started with one a week. Now I do at least 3 recipes a week, 1 cocktail on Friday, and then I do a super simple Sunday on Instagram and Facebook.
You do complicated cocktails on Friday?
Every Friday I have a complicated cocktail video, and so that's the videos done. So I do that all week. And then, of course, I don't write like a normal blog, which is kind of where the Cajun comes in, because we do have some great Cajun, you know, Acadiana table and all that, and they have great recipes. What makes mine a little different is I combine, so it's called porch wine and gravy, because it's kind of our 3 favorite things to do, to sit on a porch, to tell stories, to drink a little wine, and eat gravy. So mine come with stories or rants, and it's all the things that...
I call them stories.
Yeah, you've sat on my porch. You know how this happens. We're like... It's all the stories that we all sit and we can't stop and we try to talk over each other all the time. And then it's the, oh, she's dear, but let me tell you what she did. And then I have the recipe after.
And are the stories inherent in the recipes?
No. Some recipes, okay, so like, you know, my dad, I wrote a story about him. And it's a story that if you have to go, it's called The Hippie Wins, and you go read it because it's probably not appropriate for the radio. It's a pot roast. So, you know, whatever. And then it's like there's a Popeye's bread pudding, and it's based on this wonderful Popeye's buffet that was right behind us and my grandfather's need to try to take as much to go from the Popeye's buffet as possible and slam it all together until I had to stand behind him and wave money at the lady, like, please, please, just let him do it. So those are all related, and some of them is just this recipe I came up with and this story popped in my head. It's a reference. We do what we want.
In a recent survey, it was found that more teenagers want to be influencers than ever before.
I don't even know what that means. I keep calling it advisors, and my daughter keeps correcting me.
Yes, an influencer. It means that if you say, I wear this, everybody wants to wear it. And they seem to think it's mainly sitting around taking selfies in different color lipstick.
That's because what Kim Kardashian looks like she's doing.
Yes. So what's the reality of being a blogger and, as it's come to be termed, an influencer? What's the reality and the hard work that goes behind it?
I think it just depends. I mean, for me, it's just putting a lot of work into, obviously, the content. Because mine's a lot of content. Mine's not just a picture and then a little blurb and then I move on. I have a whole editing.
You actually cook the whole dish.
I cook the whole dish. We take the pictures. I write the stories. I edit it. We go back. So mine's different. And that's why mine, you notice, doesn't have pop-ups and things like that. Because it's not a quick Instagram thing.
And at the moment, the primary purpose of your blog is to promote your brand and...
Yeah, I'm a kind of an insane... Well, you know this. I'm very meticulous, I guess. And so we spent 6 months getting the blog together. And then I spent another year making sure it went the way I wanted it to. Because I didn't want to have anybody advertising or until I knew that I was really happy. And I wanted to also prove that I could, like you said, I could
consistently do it, yes.
So when we started, I had 1,000 page views. I started with probably 40. And the funny thing is so I've learned not to go by Instagram and Facebook numbers with this type of blog. I don't get all the giant followers, but I get 12,000 page views a month. And these are people clicking, looking, reading. I get people
that's
printing.
Good.
Yeah, and I did that in a year and a half. And that's because, but I was very insistent because when I do want to make this into a brand, I want to be able to go to people and be, look, I have all these different marketing techniques. Yeah. And if I pick you, it's because I believe in this product. I don't want people
coming.
Well,
we have Ben here today, and we can pick his brain on monetization, because you both have different methods.
Yeah, we're totally
of doing
different.
It, and that's going to be really interesting. So, Ben, what does your role as an influencer look like? Did you just sit around in the morning taking selfies saying, this is how I woke up?
Yeah, definitely not. it's never going to be like that, because I don't even know. I struggle to even call myself an influencer.
Do you think of your blog as an influencer rather than you?
I think to an extent. So whenever I'm posting about a new construction site, I think the influence on that is just people get excited and the buzz starts happening. But whenever I go farther and I communicate with that business that's building, and I establish kind of like a plan to announce your opening and what's the date. And my influence, I guess, comes when they have an opening date and I post when that opening date is. And then that's when all of the people reading what I post decide, am I going to go to that opening date that day, or am I going to go that week? Because, you know, sometimes you go to an opening date the day of and you're going to wait an hour. Chances are the food's going to be cold and it's going to be inconsistent. But I think I have that type of pull where I can kind of drive.
So how did you go, and I know a lot of people want to know this, how did you go from, oh, there's a building site, let me write about that, to making this a full-time living? How did you get people to pay you to write the stuff you were writing for free?
A typical blog model is, once you get enough followers and the businesses come to you wanting you to post about them, you establish a fee. Like, you know, it can be anything. If you're smaller, you can say $100. We ask $500. So if a business says, hey, I want you to post about my commercial development, well, that's going to be $500. And they typically don't bark at it. They go, okay, where do I send the check? I'm like, great, send the check here, because it doesn't happen often. But when it does happen, they don't bark at it.
That's impressive.
Yeah, hey, I'm surprised I could pull that off.
I got to sell tamales.
We're all learning something here today. So what's next for both of yours? I know, Ben, are you going to other cities with this eventually?
Yeah.
And so, have you already bought the domain names?
Oh, yeah. In 2013, whenever we started the website, I bought the domain name Developing Las Vegas, because my ultimate goal is to get to that town or that city. It's not a town, because it's really a big city that's always changing.
Is somebody not already doing this in every other town in the country?
Oh, this past couple of years, I've started to see similar concepts happening. So like in Houston, there's a website called Swamp Lot. This website's been in existence since 2007. And what he does is he goes around and takes pictures of demolition projects, construction projects, but he doesn't paint it in a picture that's shareable. And I try to put it in a shareable format to where somebody on Facebook wants to share it to their grandma or their cousin.
So people taking notes, make your content shareable.
Yeah,
make people want
take,
to.
Make it shareable. Because if you just post something that's drab or that looks like something that came out of a newspaper, people may not share.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Aileen Bennett. I'm talking with Ben Powers from Developing Lafayette and Jolie Moe, creator of Porch Wine and Gravy. Jolie, what are the plans for expansion?
Oh,
are you
going
to do a nationwide tour?
Well, I kind of already do a nationwide tour. I think that the plan is, obviously, it's based in Lafayette. I do food from all over cultures and stuff and such. I do a lot of private dinners now, which is great. So I just did one in San Diego, and then I'm going to Iceland next month. So we are going to try to work on that, because I love to travel, and part of the reason I have my stories is because I have traveled.
And
so
the
much.
Blog helps you build that brand to get those dinners, and those dinners then help you back again to build the blog.
Exactly. Right now, most of everything I do goes back into the blog, and that was, like I said, to build it, because I really want to be able to show someone, hey, if you are going to sponsor me, I have this to give. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I am going to start hopefully partnering up people, because I'm going to Iceland, and I'm bringing Lafayette to Iceland, and they want me to go. They're paying for me to travel there and cook and be part of the Cajun culture, which is a great time to sell this area, to be like, well, if you really want, if you're like this, wait till you see that.
Yes. And while you're on my blog, there's all these things that,
and I make
sell
them very exclusive, so that, you know, people like things they think they can't get.
So you're doing the anti pop-up ad route. You've both taken very different
We're very separate,
yeah. Julie and Ben, this is the part of the show that we call Your Brother-in-Law. You're sitting down at your computer about to post something on your Facebook page when your phone rings. It's your brother-in-law. Usually he only calls when he needs you to feed his tropical fish when he's out of town, but this time it's different. This time your brother-in-law's got a business proposition. Ben, your brother-in-law says he's got a great idea for a business that you and him can go into together. Public relations. Specifically for construction companies and property developers. He says it's pretty much what you're doing now, and just coming at it from a different angle, one where you can charge a lot of money to developers and construction companies. He's even got a name for the new company, Powers Property PR. What do you tell your brother-in-law? Is he onto something?
Oh, my God. How do I respond to that? Like, I would think he's nuts at first. And then probably say, you know what, I don't think I'm interested because it's obviously a conflict. And I don't know how I'd make it work. I don't know because I feel like I'd be spending more time trying to develop something new that is already something that I'm doing. And why not just find a way to integrate that with what I'm doing?
And you're only at the beginning of what you're doing and you can see a big growth area for it right now. Interesting.
Yeah, brothers-in-laws.
Julie, your brother-in-law obviously has a great idea too. He says that millions of the people across the country are fascinated by Cajun food and Cajun cooking. But if someone downloads a recipe from your blog and they live in the Midwest, they're not being able to get okra or filet or melitons or andouille or any of the things that really make Cajun cooking what it is. So your brother-in-law's idea is a Cajun version of Blue Apron. You send people the necessary ingredients to make a Cajun meal. Your brother-in-law says you could even sell this concept to Blue Apron and be part of them. A Cajun meal, ready to make, delivered. What do you tell your brother-in-law?
I think I would say all good ideas, great backing. And if my brother-in-law would like to support it and prove that it would make money, then it and actually invest. It's a very good... And invest, yeah.
Investment.
It's a very good idea. If not, there is the point where you can put substitutes... And so that's, I would do both sides, you know. I do substitutes. I already tell them I kind of cheat. I guess I've already kind of screwed them out of the deal. Because I tell them, if you don't have this, replace it with this. I also say, Melitons actually chayote squash, so you have it already.
But maybe you start with a gumbo package.
But it is a really good idea. But we can't, you know, I think that's one of those things where I'm just, as I said, meticulous. I would sit down and be like, all right, you have to prove it to me. I want to see numbers. I want to see how long it's going to take to make money. And I guess that's not a fun answer to that question. I'd say, whatever, let's just box it up and go. No.
And then you got to kind of look at the company, too. You mentioned Blue Apron.
Yeah.
I follow stocks, exchanges, and Blue Apron's not doing too hot right now.
Well, and I think this
there's
concept,
a lot of competitors.
Honestly, that concept is great, except I think it would only be appealing for a short amount of time, because it's got kind of that ooh look, and I'm going to send it to my friend over here. But the truth is, who makes Cajun food on a regular basis enough to support it? It's Cajun people, and we already have all that stuff.
Right, right.
I would say a better idea was, you know, something that is the products that come here, not necessarily to make food, but God, I think Cajun Crate does it, but local honeys and local spices, and I make my own spice mix and things like that. I make my own tamale spice mix. I think that would make more sense.
Oh.
Do you really do all that?
I really
do. Yes, you really, really
I actually travel across the country and now going into other countries with a Magnolite pot, all my own spices, and my own spoons, which means I have one pair of shoes and one outfit.
Will there be a blog article on what you pack?
I actually have an Instagram post about it, but I probably should do a blog
about
it.
Yeah, you should do it, and how you get
and
the
And let me tell you, when you go through security and they run, and they're like, there's just a giant pot with a pair of shoes in it. And I'm like, I don't trust these people with the right cooking devices.
That's funny.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should ship cooking equipment to people other places. Because people don't have, I swear they don't cook in the right pots like we do here. I don't know if we're just trained well, but like, I have a friend, she's never had a cast iron in her life, and I'm like, how do you make
that's
gravy?
How gravy gets, you know, it's dark.
There you go. I've got a better idea for my brother-in-law.
Yes, maybe we'll sell that idea back to your brother-in-law.
I just over-talked my brother-in-law.
I'm sure it's not the first time.
No. It's probably what hang out with
So, Ben, let's talk about this scary world of online, the trolls and the people making comments. You have a thing that you call clapping back. Do you want... did my research. Do you want to explain your version of clapping back?
Okay. So my version of clapping back, obviously I didn't create that term, but when somebody comments something negative, what I try to do is I try to be positive with everything
I do. What kind of negative things do they say about a developing business?
A negative thing for them would be like, okay, so for example, Broussard and Youngsville flooded in 2016. Mm-hmm. So did Karen Crow. A lot of places did. So new developments, a lot of people were blaming the developments. And there's some truth to that for the flooding. And so when there's a new development and more concrete coming, and I know concrete is not the sexiest thing ever, but it just kind of happens. And so these trolls, if you want to call them, come on there and say, oh, why do we need more developments and all that? I'm like, look, first of all, I'm just reporting the development and its growth for the community, whether it's cement or a new park. You know, I mean, I know it's probably not the ideal for you, but as a growing city, it's going to happen. I mean, look at Houston. I hate to compare us to Houston, but a growing city just kind of gets that. And so whenever they would respond negatively in that format, I would just say, you know, at least our city's growing, or something to that effect. I get witty, and I can't recall some of the wittier stuff, but I have to consult my business partner to say, what I'm about to say is...
Should I say this, or should I? Yes. Am I feeding the trolls here, yes, or should I?
And then, you know, you can take examples from the KATC comments section. That's a troll-laden place there.
Yes, for sure.
See, I just base it on if I can make someone laugh at my comment.
Right.
My clap back or whatever. I go to Lucius and I go, does this make you giggle?
Yes.
And he goes, yes. And I said, then I'm writing it.
And you're very much, your personality is part of your blog.
Yes.
Whereas, Ben, this is a business.
It's a totally different,
for
yeah.
you.
For me,
it's nice to have the two different.
For me, to
put personality in mind.
Right.
If you've ever read, and there's some things I say that normal news wouldn't say.
So how much, if I pay you to write a blog post about my business, are you going to rave about it even if you don't like it? Say it's another chain store coming to Lafayette above a local business. Do you show bias in that? Is it hard to write when someone's paying you? Or do you just love chain stores?
I don't love chain stores. I'm not saying that I love chain stores. I say I love all businesses that is growth. If I get paid to write a post, usually I can reject it. And I don't take everything. So if it's something that I don't agree with, I'm not taking it. So I vowed to, whenever I started this, that I would not post a vape shop. I don't smoke. I don't get involved in any of that. And unless they're building a brand new vape shop from the ground up, new construction, then I'll post about it. But I typically try not to take money from, you know, businesses like alcohol businesses if I feel like it's something that I don't take part in anyway. And so I usually just don't entertain it anyway.
Interesting. Shirley, do you have rules about what you'll write and what you won't write? Or is it just because it's your personality and your brand that you...
I started with rules. And then... Well, I mean, I wouldn't get very personal for a long time. I'm not that way in my normal life. But then I've noticed, I guess the Anthony Bourdain thing really changed that for me.
Tell us the Anthony Bourdain story. You got to cook for him?
I did. I got to cook. I got to eat dinner with him. I got to sit across from him and say really stupid things while he stared at me for saying really stupid things.
So a normal day for you then.
But I was like, Anthony Bourdain is exactly who he is. He's very dry. He's very sarcastic. He's a very intelligent man. And he obviously, just like anyone else in this industry, he is one of the heroes of mine. And I'm an irreverent, loud, I've misbehaved in my life. I've made some bad decisions and good decisions.
This is my shocked face.
Yes. And so for him, his who he was, really, I really loved it. But then, you know, so when he passed away, it was daunting and shocking. And then it's so funny. You know what got me was I got an emoji. I woke up and I got him like, oh no, sad face emoji. And I was like, did you just send me an emoji? Like a cartoon character over someone passing away, and obviously who was in pain. And it bothered me because I just didn't think that was the appropriate way to approach that subject. So I got angry, and then I got upset. And then I wrote a blog post about meeting him and about all our personal struggles and everything we go through and how we don't tell people and how we keep it to ourselves and how we just never know how tired someone is, how exhausted they are, and what they're dealing with. And we just kind of, anyway, I'm going off. But that led to me getting more personal, which kind of ripped the top off what I would talk about. Before it was all, I'm funny, look at me. What I did is I played the role I played my whole life as a bartender, as a real estate agent, like happy, smiley, funny Jolie. And I do that still to this day because that is me, but then I do the other parts, you know, the more personal parts. And I it's been rough, but it's also been a great, I don't know, a great experience because I've had more comments.
Yeah, I think the more genuine you are on your blog, I say yours is a very personal blog, but yeah. yours is a blog about businesses and development.
Right,
so
totally
they're
separate.
They're beautifully different things that are both thriving.
I'm sure our comments are a lot different. I luckily get a lot of comments from moms who are struggling too,
yes.
and people that have given up on cooking, and so I don't have to, I don't get as much anger.
Yes. In Acadiana, we live in part of the country that has a way of life and culture that we feel is better than anywhere else. Recently, we've started to learn that some of our local leaders in technology may become as legendary as our towering figures in music and food. The same recognition and success that we've seen happen to Waiter could equally happen to an online concept like Developing Lafayette. And equally, a cultural-centric online vehicle that exports Cajun culture authentically, like porch wine and gravy, could break through and become a sensation. Jolie and Ben, we wish you both continued success. We look forward to seeing where your paths as influencers and connectors take you and us. Thank you both for taking the time today to join me on Out to Lunch.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Ben Powers, founder of Developing Lafayette, and Jolie Moe, the creator of Porch Wine and Gravy. You can find out more about Jolie and Ben's ventures online and in the real world by following the links on our websites, krvs.org and itsacadiana.com. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Morrell. Our researchers are Anne Christian and Ali Coates. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on our website and Facebook page. These photos were taken by Lucius A. Fontenot. You can find out more about Lucius Fontenot photos at laffoto.com. You can get this show and past shows as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at our websites, krvs.org and itsacadiana.com. You can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, itsacadiana.com and krvs.org. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsacadiana.com and KRVS 88.7 FM. I'm Aileen Bennett. Thanks for joining me today. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the lunch table for more business Acadiana style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch Acadiana is recorded live over lunch at Cafe Vermilionville in Lafayette. Cafe Vermilionville is open Monday to Friday for lunch and six nights a week for dinner, with a courtyard that sets the scene for fine Louisiana cuisine. The Out to Lunch Acadiana theme music, Encore Monsieur Nice Guy, is written by Mitchell Foreman and performed by Mitchell Foreman and Andre Michaud. Out to Lunch Acadiana business consultants are Pete Prados from Innovate Acadiana and Destin Ortego from The Opportunity Machine. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. Support for Out to Lunch Acadiana comes from the Wyndham Garden Lafayette, located off Pinhook near Cali's Saloon. Wyndham Garden Lafayette is a pet and family-friendly hotel with reception space for large and intimate events, free parking, free Wi-Fi, and a free shuttle within 3 miles that includes the airport and downtown restaurants.
Great Louisiana two-stepping, waltzes, and ballads. Tune into All Card here on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles, and online at krvs.org with me, your host, Megan Brown, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m.
This is John Burside, better known as JB.
And Melvin Caesar, better known as MC. And we want you to join us each week for the Zydeco et Passale program for the best in Creole and Zydeco music in the area and even in the world.
Zydeco et Passale, coming up Saturday morning at 8, right here on KRVS.
Hey everybody, it's Drake with the Franco Mix on 88.7 every Thursday night at 9. N'oubliez pas, c'est $4,000. Blair Pound called the Hickatella Franco Mix. Shock Shuddy Swaz for KRBS. We point set avec Drake LeBlanc. Say for me, Dob.
They can look normal, hold normal conversations, do everything you expect, and still have a secret. On the next Snap Judgment, the weight of the world. Snap Judgment, storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it.
Coming up tonight at 10 on KRVS.
This is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.